First and or Second and Third John, and then we'll start something new. I don't know what yet. And I don't know enough of them, and I don't have enough of them noted to be able to say, which one would you like? Right? So I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Yeah. Which one? Baal?
Yeah, right.
Baal the dragon? Yeah. All right. John chapter 5. We'll just go ahead and quick pray and get into the message. Father in heaven, we're thankful, Lord, come and gather together to hear your words. And we know that where there's two or three gathered together in your name, that you are there in the midst, Lord. And we're so grateful for that. And we pray that you would just enlighten our eyes to your words today, and that we would just love them. And if there's some instruction, we would just obey the instruction. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, so 1 John chapter 5, I think we left off in 4 and 5. The Bible says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son? And so those that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God have overcome the world. And the majority of the world doesn't believe the gospel. They don't believe the words of God. And what is the gospel? What encompasses the gospel? Well, we read earlier in John chapter 4 that Jesus, he came in the flesh. And we saw who Jesus Christ was, right? He was God manifest in the flesh. We find that in John. John 1, and we saw that he died for our sins, the sins of the whole world, not just the sins of the saved, but the whole world. And 1 John 2:22, he's the propitiation, right? 1 John 2:2, the Bible says, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so the world is going one way, and Jesus is going another way, okay? And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ said that. And so the world's going one way, and Jesus is going the other way, contrary to the way of the world. And when a person gets into Christ, they become an overcomer. How? Because Jesus was an overcomer. Jesus overcame the world, and so will all those that trust in him. Look, if you would, in John 16. John 16, verse 33. The Bible says there, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me, you have to be in Christ, right? Ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if you're in Christ, you're an overcomer just like Jesus Christ is, right? Because you go into eternity. And so eternity is from the beginning and the ending, right? And so you become an overcomer because Jesus was an overcomer. Verse 6 of John chapter 5. The Bible says, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now, this verse is not referring to Jesus Christ's baptism and death, right? As some Bibles would have you believe. There's some Bibles out there that'll have you believe that. One of them is the New Living Translation, right? And so what's he saying here in verse 6? The way one finds out is by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Look, if you would, in John 3. What's he saying Is he saying that Jesus Christ, he became Christ when he was baptized? No, that's not what he's saying. John chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, he's talking to Nicodemus here. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, and say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how could a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's wombs, or his mother's womb, and be born again? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so, look, if you would, in verse 4, verse 5, or verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so the definition of water here in these passages in John 3, 3, the context is flesh. That's going to be the definition. And so if you're born of water, it's a fleshly birth. It's a fleshly birth. And so when Jesus Christ came by water, he had a fleshly birth, right? He was born of the virgin, born of Mary, and he came to earth as a man. That's what it means, folks. That's what it means. This cannot be talking about a baptism, because Jesus Christ didn't get baptized until he was 30 years old. Until he was 30 years old. And we know Jesus didn't just show up as a 30-year-old man. So he didn't come by baptism and by death, right? He came by water and by blood. And so he was born of a virgin. He grew up just like everybody else. That's Jesus Christ, our Savior, right? Started off with a little toddler, little baby, crying probably. I wonder if he cried. I just wonder. I wonder if he was just the best little child. But he was. He was sinless, right? But maybe he cried. Every baby cries, and I'm sure that he maybe stubbed his toe a couple times on rocks and started crying. Maybe he hit his finger when he was a carpenter, right? I don't know. The Bible doesn't really say, but I'm sure we're going to find out one day if you're saved. Now, there's another teaching about water in the Bible, and that is that water is sometimes referred to as a word of God. It is. It is. Look, if you would, in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 26. The Bible says there, the context is here, husbands loving your wives. The Bible says, verse 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. By the word. Again, and John chapter 15, look if you would in verse 3. John 15, 3. The Bible says, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And so what washes dirt off your body? Water. What washes dirt out of your life? Water. The water of the word. It's also referred to as distilled water, pure. The pure word of God is like this, like, I think it's, what is it? It's distilled water, I think. It's something like that, but rainwater, just distilled water. But you see that cleaning has to do with water, and it's by the word of God, showing that it's the word of God that cleanses. And so the word is likened to water in the Bible. And so you could teach that. You could teach that. And even if a person teaches this here, would he be wrong? I don't know. Isn't Jesus the word? Isn't he the word? Now when 1 John 5, 6 talks about the blood here, doctrinally, it's referring to the fact that Jesus Christ had God's blood in him. That's what it's referring to. Look, if you would, in Acts 20. Acts 20, 27. Where am I at here? Yeah, Acts 20, 27. The Bible says there, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And that shows you, folks, when he was on earth, Jesus Christ was on earth, and he went to the cross, the blood that came out of Jesus Christ was God's blood. He is God. Jesus Christ is God. And that was God's blood coming out of him. Why? For all mankind. And so the Bible's clear here that God purchased the church with his own blood. And so when this verse says that he came by water and he came by blood, it's referring doctrinally to the fact that Jesus Christ was man, right, with God's blood in him. That's what it's referring to, folks. And so this verse shows the two natures in Jesus Christ. He was all man, and yet he was all God. He was all God. And the Spirit of God bears witness to this, folks. It does. It does. And why? Because it's truth. That's the truth. And the Spirit of God is truth, and he's going to bear witness to the truth. Look back, if you would, in 1 John. 1 John. 1 John 5. Now, the Living Bible is one of the perversions that changes this verse, right? We just talked about it. They changed the verse. They say that, that Jesus Christ came by baptism and death. And what's happening here is the translators of the Living Bible are giving you their interpretation. That's all they're giving you. It's their interpretation. There are people today who pervert the Word of God just as they there were people back in John's day who were perverting the Word of God. And this perversion was what we call today Gnostics, right? Gnostics and Gnosticism. And what a Gnostic teaches is that Jesus Christ, at his Jesus was the Christ at his baptism. That's what they teach. That's what they teach. And that that Christ came on the man at baptism, and that at his death, Christ left him and the man died. That's what they teach, folks. That's what they teach. And just imagine, it's just an imagination. That's all it is. Some guy saying, well, you know, we don't like the fact that God came here. Because if you leave the verse the way it is, God came here as a man with God's blood in him, man with God's blood in him, and died on the cross. And he was Jesus Christ from the day he was born all the way up to the day he died, and he still is and he will be forevermore, right? And when you start teaching heresy like that, you take God out of the picture. And then God doesn't die for anybody, right? A man did. And so that's the heresy that a Gnostic believes. And it's very easy, folks, to get puffed up with your own knowledge, right? And believe in this nonsense. And when you start relying on knowledge, your knowledge, and not the knowledge of God, that'll lead you right down the path of heresy. It will. So that's what a Gnostic is. He's a puffed up guy with his own knowledge, and he's trying to get people to believe what he says and not what the Bible says. And so he changes it. But anyway, getting back to the Word of God. Now, when you read the book of Leviticus, the emphasis on the entire book really is blood. And in fact, that word is mentioned in most of the chapters. I think there's three chapters that doesn't mention that word. Out of the whole book, mentions blood in the book of Leviticus. And now, the word of Levi, it means joined. It means joined. And so, the way you get joined to God is through His blood. It's through His blood. And so you have to have God's blood applied to you and your sins. Or guess what? No cleansing, folks. No cleansing. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, 7. It cleanses us from all sin. All right, verse 7 in the book of 1 John 5, verse 7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, this is a verse. It shows you the Trinity of God, or God's, or His Godhead, right? No wonder why all the scholars have a problem with this verse. They do, folks. They have a problem with it. And their reasoning is that this verse, verse 8, shows you the three witnesses. The Bible says, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one," right? And so, The reasoning is here is that these three there's three witnesses here in verse 7, and there's three witnesses in verse 8. And if you add those up, you come up to six witnesses. That's their reasoning, folks. And if you keep the three witnesses in verse 7, you add them to verse 8, you have six witnesses. And so they'll run to the majority of the manuscripts when they don't quote this verse and they try to leave it out, right? They'll run. But they won't run to the majority of the manuscripts for anything else when it goes against their teachings. You see the inconsistency there? And so, why? Because if they go to the majority of the manuscripts, it goes against what they teach, and so they can't. When it goes along with what they think, they go to it. Oh, it's not there, so we don't have to use that verse, right? And that's just the inconsistency. Now, there's these things called the Greek manuscripts, and there's two times that this verse is mentioned in the Greek manuscripts. The third time, it's actually in the manuscripts, and the third time, it's like a note off to the side, and it's in like the margin. But this is what they do. When it benefits the scholars, they use the majority of the manuscripts, and when it doesn't benefit it, fit them, they don't use the majority, and they run to the Sinaiticus Vaticanus. Yeah, see the inconsistency, and we need to be consistent. If you're going to teach the Bible, teach the Bible. Don't go run to have five different things that's your authority, right? And you see that, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and all these other cults, they have all these different authorities, and you don't. They run to one when it benefits them, and they run to the other when it benefits them, but they never stick with one when it goes against them. They never do, folks. And we need to stick with the Bible. The Bible is our final authority here, and we need to stick with it. Verse 8, "And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three are one." Now, by reading verse 8, you find that there are some things that may have some meaning here with verse 7, right? Could it mean in verse 7 that and verse 8 that the Holy Ghost matches the Spirit? Could that mean that? And would the word word match water? And how about blood? Would it match the Father? We know Jesus had God's blood in him. We know that. And it's just a thought. And in any wise, the Spirit and the blood, they agree in one. One what? One what? That there are three that bear record in heaven, folks. There are three that bear record in heaven. And so they're not six witnesses here. There's three. There's only three. And so their reasoning is messed up here. There's not six witnesses, there's three. And these three agree that there are three in heaven, right? And these three are one. And so, okay, verse 9, if that made any sense. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Now, when a man is honest with himself, and when he's honest with others, folks, he will say that most of the things that he's learned in his life, he's learned by receiving this of other men. If you're honest. I mean, just think about it. All the things that you know about history in this world, where did you learn that from? Did you go through this history? Or did somebody tell it to you? Whether it was in a history book or somebody spoke it to you, but it came by some man, right? And really, seriously, now, how do you know that there's a President George Washington? Did you see him? We see pictures of him, painted pictures. Did we see him? No. And so, it's recorded, folks. It's recorded. And we can kind of put some kind of trust in the recorded things of history. Even the laws of jurisprudence of this land state that if something's been conformed to writing and it hasn't been challenged or whatever you want to call it, it holds true in a court of law. And there are things that have been recorded. And that hold true in a go in a courtroom and say, there's no such thing as George Washington because I didn't see him. The judge would probably put you in jail for that. Right? It's common knowledge. It's recorded. Okay? And so how do you find out about the things that are going on in this community? You find out about it through other men. I mean, you don't have, even if you had a Christian going all over the world and reporting on news, you're still hearing about it from a man, okay? And we receive the witness of men. Everybody does. Everybody does. And so why is it so easy to receive the witness of men? If a man's honest with himself and you bring this argument, why is it so easy to receive the witness of men? But when it comes to God and what he said about his Son, the Lord Jesus, most men in the world don't receive it. And it's recorded. It's recorded. And they don't receive it. And folks, men ought to believe God before they believe any witness of men. That's what should be taught very first, from when a child can even start to understand and even before he's even born. Taught about God and that, hey, God is true. God is true. Every man is a liar. That's the Bible, folks. Every man's a liar. That's what the Bible says. And you can trust God. Why? Because he's never going to lie to you. And if a child is brought up that way and you don't receive the witness of men, or if you're going to tell them about Santa Claus, tell them, hey, this is our made-up little thing, and everybody goes along with it just to have fun at Christmas time, but it's not true. It's not true. Folks, I honestly believed in Santa Claus at one time. I'm not kidding you. And he came over to our house. He did. And I was like, what's this all about? And so, I mean, I'm sitting on the guy's lap and everything, and I didn't know it was my dad's buddy from work. And I pulled down the beard because it looked like it was fake. I'm like, that's not Santa Claus. And I'll tell you what, I did not like Christmas. I did not like that. I liked the being around family, but even when a kid, I just did not like Christmas. There was just something about it. But folks, you want to know why? Subconsciously, that has an effect on a child. It's got to, because, I mean, everybody in this country is taught about Santa Claus. And look at all the people going to hell. And when you grow up thinking that there's some person that's bringing you gifts, and then all of a sudden, it's a big lie, and then you find out about Jesus Christ who's going to give you eternal life, you're thinking, well, that's just another big old lie that somebody's trying to tell me, right? I mean, subconsciously, it's burned into your conscience at a young age, and you don't even realize it. And see how the devil blinds? Then the gospel comes along, and you're like, well, that's just another one of those somebody's imagination. And boy, do they got a good one. Somebody's going to give me eternal life for the rest of my life. And I'm going to live in all this glory. Yeah, that's true. It's recorded, folks. It's recorded. It's in the Bible. And if you'll believe God and not everything you hear about what man says, give God some of that belief. And just believe in his son and you can have it, right? And a lot of people don't. They don't receive it. Verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record. The record. It's written. It's recorded. It can. You can go all the way back. Even if you want to go to Hebrew, Greek, and all, whatever you want to learn, it's recorded in our English language. And some of the best scholars of the time, and you're going to tell me that everything gets better? The language doesn't get better, folks. People don't get better. They degrade. I mean, look at our language today. I'm speaking so much slang up here, it ain't even funny. It ain't. You know? It's slang. We speak slang. The English language was more biblical. Why? Look at when the translations came out. Okay? We speak slang. There's three types of languages, folks, in this country that I know of. And besides Ebonics, right? There's the English slang language. There's the English law. I mean, some of the definitions in the English law are totally different from the definitions of our regular language. And then you have the pretty pure language, which, I mean, we're looking at it right here, right? When it first came out, a little bit shortly thereafter. But you get a witness in you, folks, the moment you believe on God's Son. And that's what it says. We have the witness in ourselves, right? Verse 10. And that's the comforter. That's the second witness. The first one is to believe on God's words. That's the first one. The second one comes when you believe. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that out of the mouth of two witnesses or out of the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. That's what the Bible says, folks. And aren't you glad you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You got two witnesses right there. Two witnesses. And the devil's going to go up to God and accuse us? And we got witnesses? No way. It ain't happening. You're never losing your salvation, and I'm never losing mine if you're saved. And so we'll go ahead and stop there. We'll go ahead and stop. I'll give you guys a little bit of break. 5 minutes. That's all. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for an end to a great year, and we look forward to your coming, Lord, and maybe it's tonight. That would be a great thing, and if not tonight, sometime next year, the first day, preferably. Within the first second. But we pray that you would just help us to have a great year walking with our Savior. And that's the most important thing. It's none of this other stuff matters. It's just walking with you, and help us to give the gospel out to somebody this year, more than one, and just keep giving it out. You gave so much to us, and you just want us to give that to everybody else. And so we pray that we would just do that, and others would get saved this year, and it would be a great year for those that are blinded to receive their sight. We pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.